You're listening to NBC Sports Radio. Weekends. This is Speaking of Sports
with Jim Daniels
on NBC Sports Radio, where every day is game day.
And now,
it's Jim Daniels.
Thank you for making us a part of your Sports Sunday. We surely appreciate that. I am Jim Daniels, the host of Speaking of Sports, where we like to take a slightly different look at the sports world. I like to say kick the box score aside and move the numbers out and talk a little bit more about the individuals and the stories that are coming out of the sports world. Let's do beautiful by the square foot first. Right now, the Home Depot has new life-proof carpet with advanced stain technology built in and their best warranty ever. Stains are part of life. With life-proof, they don't have to be. Home Depot also offers start-to-finish installation by trained, experienced flooring professionals who will get the job done right. Visit homedepot.com/flooring. for details. The Home Depot, more saving, more doing. Yeah, go see our friends at the Home Depot, especially over the weekend. Best time to go see them. All right, speaking of sports, we're up and rolling today. We've got a number of things coming up in just a moment. We'll speak with Rick Horro. We talk the business of sports with the professor every week. This time, it'll be live from one of those funny painted red phone booths in London, I hope, because that's where he's at for the Jacksonville-Buffalo game. We'll talk to Rick from London coming up in just a minute. Neil Romano is going to stop by. We're going to talk to Neil coming up in a little while about something new from Topps Baseball Cards. Very exciting to talk to him about what he and the folks over at Topps have in store for baseball and baseball card fans. And then, of course, we're going to get to Pete Fox here at the end of the program. I got a number of things I want to talk about, not the least of which is a television event that is coming up that is kind of born out of the sports. We'll tell you more about that when we get down to the end of the program with Pete Fox. But first, we start with the World Series champion, and that's Steve Garvey going to join us now. We got the World Series all ready to go. We're ready to get cranked up on Tuesday and get the Fall Classic started. Steve Garvey, once again, thanks for spending time with us on NBC Sports Radio.
Absolutely. My pleasure.
Steve, the Dodgers were picked by many to win it all this year. They come up short. The Mets beat Kershaw and then Greinke at home. What was the key here? I mean, what went wrong? And how many, I mean, actually, where, I'll say, should they improve? I mean, is it a better bullpen? Do they need a bigger slugger in the four spot? A manager with a crystal ball? What is it?
That's a good question. You know, there are a lot of questions about the Dodgers. A very good regular season. A lot of concern in the second half, though, a power outage, so to speak. Defense was strong. You know, with Kershaw and Greinke pitching, you always had, you know, pretty much two wins there. And then you had to go face your third and fourth guy with the Dodgers, and that always wasn't a fait accompli, so to speak. So I think the Dodgers are going to be looking for that 3-4 guy. Maybe it's Ryu coming back. Maybe it's not. They also need some guys that put the ball in play more, you know, that a little more clutch hitters, guys that they can more or less build a solid 6 or 7 guys around. So we'll have to wait and see. And, you know, of course, there's a new baseball administration, and there's been a lot of changes already. There's going to be a new manager, hopefully, in place by the winter meetings. And I think this is a team that's got some questions, and hopefully they can answer them.
World Series champion Steve Garvey is with us. Steve, Donnie Baseball, Don Mattingly, and the Dodgers parted ways just this past week. Management apparently made an offer to Donnie, but they weren't able to make a deal. A couple of things here. First, how much does Mattingly share in the Dodgers' early exit from the playoffs in this Kershaw-Greinke era?
Well, the question you know, I think you're really leading to is there going to be is that Greinke-Kershaw era over? You know, he's got this outback clause. The question is whether he's going to be able to stay with the Dodgers or choose to go for a higher bidder and move on. I think you really need to keep him. The question is, is it a renegotiation or just an opt-out clause that turns into a highest bidder and happens to be the Dodgers? But I think, you know, it's an era that still is in flux. Nothing's set in stone with the Dodgers. They still have some quality players. You know, Turner has emerged as a good, solid professional, and Adrian Gonzalez is on his way potentially to Hall of Fame. So I think they really are looking to bolster the minor league department and the minor leagues, and then add key players here and there.
Steve Garvey is our guest, so let's talk a little World Series stuff here, Steve. The Mets are saying what they're going to do is run their starters out like this. It's going to be Harvey, then DeGrom, then Syndergaard, then Mats. I'm wondering why Terry Collins is not going with one of his top two guys first. I mean, it's arguable, I guess, who the exactly number, how they actually rank 1, 2, 3. But I mean, why is he not going with the flamethrowers first?
Oh, I think he's looking at the sequence that he's used. You know, he wants to give the next man a chance and doesn't want him to not pitch for 10, 12 days. And I think that's very, very legitimate. You know, they're going to have a great four young arms against the Royals that I predicted to go all the way. I like the way they played the postseason last year. Mm-hmm. I like the way they played the season. They do a lot of little things right. They got a solid defense and some good arms. And of course, their bullpen's very stellar. And I just think that, you know, they'll find a way to put the ball in play against these good live arms and put pressure on the Mets.
You know, and that's exactly what I want to talk about, is those live arms. I mean, the Royals are getting a mulligan. They ran into the Bumgarner buzzsaw, you might say, last year. But here they are back again in the World Series 2 years in a row. But, again, they're going to run into maybe even twin buzzsaws this time. Do you think this Kansas City lineup can handle all these 100-mile-per-hour hurlers that New York is going to throw at them?
Well, you know, you're facing that all the time now anyway. So I think that the Royals will be able to do that. I like the way they go the other way. You know, if you watch the playoffs, they give in two strikes. They stay on the ball. They don't pull off the ball. They have just enough power, and more power than they used to have. They have a lot of confidence. You know, I think they've got to be the odds-on favorite. And then let it be one game at a time. They got the home field advantage. So they got a lot of things going for them.
They do, and it should be a great series. A lot of people seeing this one go the absolute distance. I know that you're busy, so we thank you for your time and popping in here once again to talk to us about the Major League postseason. World Series champion and Dodger great Steve Garvey, thanks once again for joining us on NBC Sports Radio.
Always a pleasure. Thanks so much.
All right, Steve, appreciate your time. Actually, ran into Steve yesterday to catch that one. He was in Las Vegas with Pete Rose together. They were signing autographs and doing one of those shows together in Las Vegas. So pretty cool stuff there that they're out on the road doing that. As a matter of fact, I see a lot of Pete on TV breaking down the baseball lately. I think it's kind of funny. He's kind of turned into a little bit of a cartoon character, you might even say, with his TV persona. All right, coming up next, or actually still to come on the program on Speaking of Sports this morning, like I mentioned at the top, Rick Horro is going to join us live from London. We'll dial Rick up here in a couple of minutes to get a report from him. You know, because the game is really, wow, just a little over an hour away, an hour and 15, 20 minutes away before they're going to tee it up and get going. Yeah, live from London at Wembley Stadium in just a little bit. So we'll call this kind of a report from the professor. Also, Neil Romano is a guy that is very interesting. He is partnered with the Topps Baseball folks, and they've got a new set of baseball cards coming out that we want to share with you and tell you about. And we'll do that just after the bottom of the hour. So thanks for sticking around and being with us for Speaking of Sports. Up next, it's the professor on NBC Sports Radio and NBCSportsRadio.com. It is NBC Sports Radio and NBCSportsRadio.com. I'm Jim Daniels, and this is Speaking of Sports. Glad that you've dialed us up, made us a part of your day. Appreciate that. Going to talk to the professor across the pond here in just a minute. Yep, he's on another road trip. He's always on the move. First, check out the Monroe Shocktober sale going on at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Purchase four select combinations of Monroe Shocks for the price of three after the mail-in rebate. Sweet, right? O'Reilly Auto parts, better prices. That's every day. All right. Now, let's do it. Let's dial up the phone and see if it works, dialing all the way across the pond to find the Professor Rick Horro. Hello.
Cheerio. How are you?
Oh, look at that. Cheerio. How are you then?
I am then really good. So the bottom line is this was an amazing trip. I can't believe somebody pays for it. I don't know who yet. So I was at Fulham yesterday at a stadium called Craven Cottage, which is Shad Khan's Champions League, the second division here. He owns them. They beat Reading 4-2. You don't care about that, but they have about 18,000 people there. And then at night at Emirates Stadium to watch Arsenal play Everton, and it's a tale of two teams. And then putting together a series on behalf of the NFL, including some interviews, and right here at the pregame event at Wembley for the Bills and Jaguars. And it's amazing because probably 70% of the people here are British. The other 30% are international. And the 70% don't know what the cumulative record of the Bills and Jaguars are. So for them, they think it's a Super Bowl. Can you imagine?
Well, it's exciting for them because it just doesn't happen very often. I guess that's what part of the attraction must be for the NFL over there. But you say about 70% British and 30% of it is international. Is that included? Are the Americans included in that international portion that you're talking about?
Yeah, did a lot of interviews today with different kinds of fans. Many are expats. A lot of people came over with Bills and Jaguars. They travel well. There are other people here who are interested in NFL football generally. Many came over from Germany. It's interesting. NFL is looking at an activation plan for Germany, and I found a lot of German fans, and the NFL brass may take note about that. That would become very important. They're also looking at potential games in Mexico and in Brazil and maybe in Australia again. But the NFL committed, and Jaguars did long-term for a five-year deal here and even longer, with the Jaguars being the home team. Shad Khan owns the Jaguars, an auto business maven, does a lot of business in Europe. Jacksonville Jaguars, by the way, have a development relationship with Visit Florida, where the name on the front of the jerseys for his Fulham team is Visit Florida. So there are a lot of synergies that go back the other way, not just football to soccer.
Mm-hmm. Now, let's talk about the international game here for a minute. This is exactly what we're talking about. Game's going to tip off here in just a little bit over an hour from Wembley Stadium. And we think that Jacksonville is likely the team, I mean, for a number of reasons that you've just mentioned, is likely a team that winds up over there. What about, because we keep talking about an expansion team or a team in London, what about a smaller, because we keep talking about the minor leagues for football is college football. What if you were to create NFL Europe and you had a team in Germany and a team in England and a team in Spain, and you created maybe a small league, maybe just eight teams or something like that? I mean, is that more of a viable business plan than to try and figure out how you're going to get a visiting team over to London 8 out of 16 weeks?
A brilliant Jim Daniels idea, as usual, which is a super idea that was tried unsuccessfully 10 years ago, pal. That's okay. Nice try. So, and I'm, you know, obviously not cynical about it. The NFL tried that version, and now they believe they have a more successful process with this version. Mark Waller, NFL International. Those guys are looking to increase revenue to about 30%, maybe 20, 25% of the total of $25 billion for the NFL. So there's a lot of pressure. So how do you do it? Well, you may have a full-time expansion team, and the Jaguars guys are on record saying 10 years from now, you never know, they may be ready. But until then, teams alternating home games, every team playing a home game every other year here, when you realize that that adds up to 16 games a year, and that may be the way they do it. They may want to do more than just the three games a year. They're going to Tottenham next year or 2 years from now, in addition to Wembley. So there are a lot of ways to bring the product to UK and internationally, short of another round of NFL Europe and short of an expansion team, but it's a good idea.
Let's continue talking about expansion, but we're going to talk about expansion in the NBA. The NBA is about ready to launch into their season. That happens on Tuesday. They've got some special stuff in the work for this upcoming season, but I want to talk about expansion, maybe not as far as other cities, but in other frontiers like the web, yeah?
Yeah. Expansion on the web is certainly a big deal. Globalization of the NBA, right? The NFL streams its game today in an hour, the Yahoo game, the first time ever NBA to follow suit with that. The Magic has a tie with Brazil because of the number of visitors there. They have 3,000 or so Brazilian fans to every game in their winter, Brazil's summer, and they're looking to do that. And they're also taking a look at globalization through the streaming, and you know, leagues that are global anyway, like the NBA and what baseball aspires to, they get a head start as well. By the way, speaking of baseball, did the Cubs beat the Mets? Oh, never mind.
Let me check.
I don't know. Yeah, let me check. Sorry.
I don't think they did. As much as the Back to the Future fans wanted that to happen, they came up a whole lot short, I'm afraid.
By the way, one quick thing. That's an advantage of being over here as a Cub fan, is you don't get to hear about it until you hear about it in bulk. In that series, I think you want to hear about it once in bulk, and that'll be it.
That probably will be it. Rick Hoare was our guest. We talk the business of sports. We talk about the dollars of sports. And sometimes we have to talk about the lawsuits of sports. And apparently the U.S. District Court in Brooklyn is busy again. This time it's a complaint from a U.S. tennis player. Really? A slip and fall accident?
Well, listen, slip and fall accidents get lawyers to try to ask for big money always. The claim by Attorney Morelli said it was a cleaning agent intended to be left on the floor overnight, and people forgot about it, and Jeannie Bouchard slipped and hit her head and withdrew from the U.S. Open, withdrew from events in China and Japan, and lost money. Well, it's interesting because when something like this goes to a jury trial and there's sympathy for the plaintiff, you know what might happen. The incident happened September 4. The lawyers filed suits. I am afraid, given her recent performance, much of her future income might be derived from a legal court, maybe not a tennis court.
Oh, he's here all week. Try the veal. No, you know, really, I mean, somebody like Eugenie Bouchard, who, you know, is not that great of a – is not exactly tearing up the courts, and then they wind up in court. When you're in court, I mean, how much of that plays into it? I mean, if you were Venus – or Serena, somebody like that with that kind of a track record, and you had a slip and fall and you went to court, you're going to have a completely different outcome, aren't you?
Well, and listen, famous plaintiffs have a better chance of doing stuff because juries are human. Michael Jordan has filed a trademark suit. Remember, we talked about that 3 weeks ago in Chicago. And frankly, you don't want to take that kind of thing to court because you wouldn't want to be on the other end of a Michael Jordan jury trial. And so it happens all over the place. Lawyers are pretty good at dealing with that. Jeannie Bouchard has a chance of coming back. She has been Canada's endorsement darling. And, of course, she might recover to get there again. It's just rocky times currently for the tennis player.
Exactly. Especially if that's the path you're going down. All right, let's talk about retail business. We talk about this a lot, and we talk about the big brands, you know, Adidas and Nike. Nike just made a really, as you put it in the sports brief, a bold prediction: $50 billion in annual revenue, and doubled women's business coming within the next 5 years. That's what they're counting on. I mean, doubling down. You know, where is this going to come from? I mean, is this going to other countries and trying to get more soccer dollars? I mean, how in the world can they expect to double that kind of money?
It's a business case study that's perfect. Diversification. First of all, you deal with the women's plan, and the business is expected to rise to $11 billion by 2020. That's even more than you make on an annual basis.
Almost.
Taking the Jordan brand, and it's not just a basketball knockoff. The University of Michigan's deal is for football, basketball, everywhere else. Also, the web, as you mentioned earlier, e-commerce business jumping to a $7 billion from $1 billion in 5 years. And then finally, they're looking at China, obviously, and they're continuing to grow there. So when you have all four kinds of businesses, $50 billion doesn't seem outrageous.
Adidas is in this conversation as well. James Harden's Adidas deal is worth $200 million over 13 years. Rick, I've got to ask the question. If I'm sitting and I hear that James Harden is going to get $200 million over 13 years from Adidas, how much money, what kind of money are they banking in the black every year, a company like Adidas?
They're expecting a 2 or 3 times return on that specific line of business. And so don't know the overall third quarter retail profit numbers for Adidas, but we know when they do something like this and they release a signature shoe for Harden, not until late 2016 or 17, you realize it's future revenues because they ain't getting any money for the next year or two. And so they also have a chance of him being injured like any other superstar, but assuming it plays out the way it should, they're going to make 3 or 4 times the investment.
Wow, man, that is just absolutely amazing stuff. And you think about
there's
how
a
many...
Jim Daniels. There's a Jim Daniels signature shoe we're going to go to market with together, you and me.
I'm glad to hear that we're still working on that. Live from London, we appreciate the phone call, Mr. Horrell. Hold on for just a second for me, won't you? We'll talk.
Cheerio, I miss you. See you next week.
We'll talk to you about Major League Baseball and the World Series next week on the program. All right, more to come with the. Actually, pretty exciting stuff. Topps has got new baseball cards coming out. If you're a Topps collector, you're going to want to know about this. Stick around. It happens next on NBC Sports Radio.
You're listening to NBC Sports Radio. Weekends. This is Speaking of Sports
with Jim Daniels
on NBC Sports Radio, where every day is game day.
And now,
it's Jim Daniels.
Good morning, and thanks for being with us. This is Speaking of Sports on NBC Sports Radio and NBCSportsRadio.com. Lots of ways for you to dial us up and make us a part of your day. We appreciate you doing that, too. But go to NBCSportsRadio.com, or you can go to iTunes. A couple of different places you can get us. We have the on-demand feature on NBCSportsRadio.com. And then, of course, you go to iTunes, and we got the podcast thing going with Audio Boom, and you can subscribe, and it gets downloaded and sent right to your email. Really, really pretty cool stuff. All right, this is extremely cool, too. Topps, the official baseball card of Major League Baseball, is launching the Pride and Perseverance. It's a new card set to celebrate past and present major leaguers who've overcome some pretty serious challenges. You'll be surprised at how many and what, too. Neil Romano is former Assistant Secretary of Labor for Disability Employment and is a senior advisor to the Professional Baseball Athletic Trainers Society. The Pride and Perseverance card set was the brainchild of PBATS, and Neil joins us now. Thanks for being with us, Neil. Is it okay if I call it PBATS?
Absolutely. Thank you very much for having me.
No problem. You know, my first thought when I looked at the names in the set was surprise. You know, I, like a lot of people, had baseball cards as a kid. I remember taking my son in to the card shop the first time. But I didn't realize so many players had dealt with so many different challenges in order to make it to the big leagues. Even in this year's playoff, John Lester and Anthony Rizzo are among them, aren't they?
Well, I mean, and that's exactly the point of the cards. What we have here is we have people have no idea. Some of the people out there that have challenges and disabilities that do tremendous things. And unfortunately, in society, we don't have a lot of examples of that. So a lot of times people are not considered for what they can do. They're looked at for what they can't do. Well, this set of cards is designed basically to say, hey, look, here are a group of people who have reached the pinnacle of sports success, and they have had very severe challenges. You should look at people also for what they can do.
No question about that. Boy, that rings really true with me. I'll explain more in just a moment. But first, let me say this. I grew up in the Los Angeles area and watched Jim Abbott, among other people, among many people here in Southern California, watched Jim Abbott pitch with one hand for the Angels for a number of years. He's got to be one of those amazing stories in all the sports, but there are many more just like him, right?
Well, I mean, you know, throughout the entire history of Major League Baseball, as the set reflects, going all the ways back to the 1888, William Hoy, who was totally deaf, was a star of his time. As a matter of fact, there are a lot of people that are still fighting to try and get him into the Hall of Fame. He was that good. This is a guy with 2,000 hits in his career back when balls were mush. And he couldn't hear, and a lot of people credit him because he was deaf, he worked with the umpires to develop the out and the safe sign. I mean, that's an amazing thing if you think about it in baseball. But there are so many ball players, and it's not just guys like Pete Wishner Gray who had one arm. I mean, there are guys that have battled things like diabetes and stuff through the years, all things that when people look at it, children look at it, or a parent looks at one of these cards, he says, oh, my goodness, this guy did that. Well, you know what? I can do that. Or, you know what? I'm going to let my child do more of the things they want to do because, you know what? Given the opportunity, they can. That's what this is about.
Pride and Perseverance is the name of the new set from Topps. Neil Romano, former Assistant Secretary of Labor for Disability and Employment, also Senior Advisor to the Professional Baseball Athletic Trainers Society. As I mentioned just a moment ago, Neil, Jim Abbott for me is one of the most, you know, amazing, amazing people to accomplish feats at the major league level. Who's your favorite story in the set?
Well, I have to tell you, I love Jim Abbott personally. He's a friend. He and I had conversations about this. He actually helped put us on the road getting this done. But there, you know, all the stories are great. William Hoy is amazing because of the contributions. Frankly, on a very personal basis, you know, John Lester is an inspiration to me because I'm someone who wound up getting blood cancer and saying, hey, you know, here's a guy who also got a form of blood cancer and I'm battling and he battled and I'm going to battle. So there's a lot of great stories in here. You know, I love the fact that we have players that have had issues with stuttering, that we have players that have had Jason Johnson was the first athlete, not baseball player, the first athlete to ever walk on a field anywhere with an insulin pump. I mean, it took time for the athletic trainers and people to get that approved, to be sure that he wouldn't get hurt, that nothing would happen. But they overcame. They did it. baseball made that incredible accommodation, and now it's fairly commonplace.
Yeah, really commonplace, especially when you look at the list of the people involved in this new top set. Now, Mark O'Neill, he's the PBATS president as well as Chicago Cubs director of medical administration. He said recently, and this is something that you just touched on just a moment ago, really rings true with me, quote, people with disabilities are often looked at for what they can't do instead of being appreciated for what they can do. We hope that these cards will help promote or will help people take a closer look at the potential of people with disabilities, close quote. My brother had cerebral palsy, born with it, never walked a day in his life without braces or a wheelchair or something like that, but he still managed to graduate college and drive a car. I mean, all of these people, they need encouragement, and that's what this special series and card set from Topps is all about, right?
Yes, absolutely. You know, it's a two-way thing. You know, people look on people with disabilities, and they get encouragement from what they can do when they say, oh my goodness, you know, I'm going to keep moving on. Because if a person like that can have the pride, frankly, and the perseverance to move along, why can't I? And, you know, it's just, there's so many young people and children and grown-ups that you want their perception to be exactly what Mark O'Neill said. And by the way, Mark O'Neill is just the driving force behind getting this done through the PBATS, the Professional Baseball Athletic Trainer Society, ATC program, which means Ability Transcends Challenges. It's a whole program that includes TV commercials with Jim Abbott and Bo Jackson and Curtis Pride that are often on the MLB network. And it's all designed to encourage people themselves, but also to encourage people to look at people with disabilities and say, hey, they can do that. They should be given a shot here in my workplace. Or, you know, I'm a kid on the ball field. You know, I'm a kid out there playing on the monkey bars. Maybe I should give that kid over there a shot. Maybe I should invite him into my circle of kids to play. That's what this is about.
Indeed. Neil, you've had a career in both government and sports, and that has allowed you the opportunity to develop and implement numerous educational programs, way too many that I can't note them all here, but I just want to mention a couple of them. Play, the Promoting a Lifetime of Activity for Youth, a National Spit Tobacco Awareness Program, White House Conference for Drug-Free America, and many, many others. These programs balance the needs, really, of sport and carefully designed public service programs that serve the interests of everyone involved. You know, how can our parents and athletes, students alike, all become more involved in their community?
Well, I'll tell you what, that is extremely simple. The first thing they need to do is to take a look at the person next to them and respect them for who they are, regardless of their disability. The other thing is to try and find ways to, in your community, to join programs like the ARC or Special Olympics and things like that. But then also, as a person within the community, look at people. Look at these young people who are coming out of high schools, who are not traditionally able, who might need a job or might need an internship or something like that. Help them out. Give them that opportunity. You're going to be shocked by what you get. You're going to be shocked by the quality. You're going to be shocked by the desire to work and do a good job. This is what people can do. And that's what's going to change America for people with disabilities who, unfortunately, have the highest rate of unemployment and the highest rate of poverty in America. Even if they have a full education, they are still a college education, they're still twice as likely to be unemployed as any other group in America.
Yeah, because people are just afraid to take that chance. But like you said, you'd be surprised if you just take that leap of faith. Neil Romano, former Assistant Secretary of Labor for Disability Employment and Senior Advisor to the Professional Baseball Athletic Trainer Society. Great work, Neil. Look forward to the new Topps Pride and Perseverance set. And thanks for being with us this morning on NBC Sports Radio.
Well, thank you very much for your time, and I appreciate you giving attention to this important issue.
Yeah, indeed, it is an important issue, and be nice and see people give folks with disabilities just a little bit more of a shot. Just one more closer look would be some good stuff. All right, up next, there's a TV show in the works that is spawned by the sports world that is going to be a shocker, and it's on the way, and it's got some pretty big stars in it. We're going to tell you about that and a curse. Coming up next, it's NBC Sports Radio and NBC Sports Radio's mobile app. especially Sunday. Woo. Sunday is definitely some game day, especially when you get into fall and the football season. Hi, good morning, Jim Daniels. We're speaking of sports this morning. Pete Fox is in the update studio. Good morning, sir.
You should change your name to James during speaking of sports.
James, yes, it's James Daniels.
Hey, Jim, have you launched the experience yet?
Launched the experience? No.
Yes, you know this game today that's about to start here in 37 minutes. Oh. Buffalo and Jacksonville is on Yahoo.
Yeah, the streaming. Yeah. You know, I'll do that when I get over to the other place. All of us have about 9 jobs around here, so when I get to job number 4 here in about an hour, maybe I'll boot that up there. I got a couple things I want to talk to you about.
Sure.
The Cubs curse. You know about the Cubs curse, right?
Of course. Murphy the Goat.
Yeah, the Billy Goat's name was Murphy.
Right.
Is where it all starts. But then in 1908, the Cubs owner, Charles Murphy. In 1969, mm-hmm. Mets GM was John Murphy.
Yeah.
69, Mets announcer, Bob Murphy. 1984, NLCS site, Jack Murphy Stadium. And the 2015 Mets NLDS hero, Daniel Murphy.
Yep.
What's with the Murphys? Can
Who
you believe
knows?
That this thing is, I mean, what a crazy coincidence, right? It's really all it is. But
it is crazy. It is unbelievable. And when you think about it, it is exactly what destroyed the Cubs in that series. It's unfortunate, but the fans, you could just tell, the second one thing started to go wrong, they would sit there and go, oh, here we go again.
Mm-hmm.
It was just written all over their face.
Oh, you could see it. Yeah.
Yeah, I thought the youngsters that were, you know, that make up this Cubs team would be impervious to the any sort of curse stuff. They'd move beyond that. But here we go, the Daniel Murphy curse again. It's mind-boggling, to say the least.
Indeed it is. I think that guy that was sobbing at the Michigan-Michigan State game, I think he was at the Cubs game as well. I think they caught him on camera. That was crazy. Yeah. The guy was boo-hooing, sobbing. Just, yeah. You might have had some of that yesterday after the Georgia Tech-Florida State game. But here's where I want to go with you next, Pete Fox. American Crime Story. Are you aware of this series that they've got on FX called American Crime Story?
You know, I watch a lot of TV, Jim, but I am not aware of that show. I mean, I've heard of it, but I've never watched it.
They're getting ready to fire up American Crime Story, The People versus O.J. Simpson. And it's got an ensemble cast that stars John Travolta as Robert Shapiro, one of the attorneys, one of his dream team. What did he have? Yeah, his dream team, right? His dream team of attorneys.
Right.
Sarah Paulson is going to be Marcia Clark. Cuba Gooding Jr. is going to star as O.J. Simpson. American Crime Stories,
Cuba.
The People versus O.J. Simpson. No, he's old enough now. He's got the age on him. Doesn't quite have the size, but he does have a little bit of the age on him now. Also, the cast also has David Schwimmer's name is in here. Selma Blair is in here. Courtney B. Vance. A lot of names in here, names that you know. But I remember this. And I mentioned this earlier during the program. I remember when this happened. I was doing talk radio in Los Angeles when the O.J. trial went down in the mid-90s, and it was like the entire world stopped for about a year. This is the only thing that people talked about. It was on the news every single night. It was all over your radio, your newspaper, magazines, everywhere, and I just can't help but think that this is going to have an enormous response even all these years later.
Well, you more than me, but wasn't once enough? I mean, I don't know that we need to go through all of that again, because you're right. It did consume us from any media outlet that we would watch or listen to. It was all over the place. I kind of went through that thing with the Howard Stern show, which was a little bit more of a comedic angle, comedic look at it.
Mm-hmm.
But, for that year, it was crazy.
Well, and then back it up.
Turned.
You talk about too much. Is as soon as it was done, the civil trial started almost immediately after that, just a couple of months later, and they were right back at it again. They were back in court, and it was people testifying, and it started all over again. And we thought, again, doing talk radio in Los Angeles at the time, well, we just finished the whole trial. It can't be that interesting to people. And it was. And they still wanted to stay on it. It was still on the news and in the newspapers every single day. You know, I just have to think that this is going to be a very, very highly rated, highly watched program, because I think the fascination, look, they called it the crime of the century 20 years ago when it happened, because it was Hollywood and it was, you know, the sports world with O.J. Simpson from the NFL and all this kind of stuff. I'd be willing to bet the house dog and the babysitter that this is going to have enormous ratings because of the, still, after all these years, the appeal from people.
Yeah, do you think it opens it to a whole new audience, a younger crowd that didn't, you know, wasn't a part of it the way we were?
Yeah,
or is it the younger audience and the people that were there 20-whatever years ago. We'll go through it again.
Actually, you know what? I'm going to say a combination of both, because initially I was going to say that this is going to be a whole new audience, as you pointed out, that is going to find this interesting and compelling in the same way as you added up. Like, just the promo. All they ran in is a promo. So they fly a camera in on a crane, and they zoom it in from up above the, you know, the lights where the streetlights are, zoom it in down to the sidewalk and start going down the sidewalk really low. Then you hear this dog barking, and then the dog comes out with his bloody paws stomping around all over the place. They had me hooked in 10 seconds with that promo, and that's all they ran.
You know who got hooked more than anybody? Our boss, Jack Silver, who hired Cato Kaelin.
Yes, he did.
You know, I love Jack more than anybody.
I worked with Cato at that very station. That's where I was when all this went down. Yeah, Cato Kaelin. Actually, you know what? My claim to fame, I replaced Cato Kaelin on that radio station. They decided that's enough of that.
Top of the resume.
Here you go. Yeah, well, actually, maybe not the top. Thank you, Pete Fox. Appreciate that. That's going to do it for Speaking of Sports. Coop is coming up next on many of these NBC sports radio stations. Thanks for being with us. We'll see you next weekend.
Okay, forest animals. Kids are coming to the forest, and it's up to us to make their visit a good one. Sparrow, have you practiced the most popular bird songs for the year?
Of course.
Catchy. I like it. River, how's the temperature?
It's a refreshing 52 degrees, man.
I love it. Turtle.
He's not here yet, man.
He's late every morning. Okay. Squirrel.
The forest has been preparing just for you. To learn more about cool things to do in the forest, visit discovertheforest.org. Brought to you by the U.S. Forest Service and the Ad Council.
I'm in almost every school bus and classroom. You see me around the neighborhood, and you tell me that I'm a pretty good kid.
Well, I'm one out of every five children in America, and I'm struggling with hunger.
Please visit feedingamerica.org today and find your local food bank for ways to help.
Every dollar you donate helps provide 8 meals for kids like me.
We are Feeding America, brought to you by Feeding America and the Ad Council.
Your NBC Sports Radio update starts now.
A thriller in Atlanta for the Ramblin' Wreck. I'm Pete Fox. Unranked Georgia Tech hung with Florida.